Most people check out, tap out in those adverse moments. And adversity is hard, and I don't want to minimize that. But understanding that those can actually be springboards in your calling, in your life, in your goals, in your business. And so really to embrace moments of adversity throughout life with the right people around you, obviously centered in the Word of God and what He's calling you to do, because those are really kind of the springboards to what He's calling you to next.
Welcome to the Lead Like Jesus podcast. I'm Karen Conley with my husband, Chris, and we are excited also to have Jeff McCall back with us for part two of our latest podcast.
If you did not get a chance to hear part one with Jeff McCall, I strongly advise go back and listen, because you're going to learn a lot of great things about the boundaries that are necessary in a leader's life, about stewardship, that ultimately a great definition of success is this. Success is stewardship. We've got to find a way to be the best steward that we can of our time and our talents. And that's a difference maker in leadership. And we obviously learn that from Jesus, because this whole podcast is about following Him as the greatest leader of all time. So, Jeff, we are so grateful to have you back for part two of the program. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, guys.
Well, everybody loves to learn from others, and we just get little nuggets from different people as we're evaluating our own life of, wow, I haven't tried that before. That's something that I need to be improving on, those kinds of things. In our last podcast, you made a couple references to some of your daily disciplines, but what are kind of some of the keystone habits, some of the things that are just kind of locked in to your daily schedule to make sure you put first things first? What does that look like for you?
Yeah, great question. And I think comes at a really interesting time, because, you know, myself and my family now, we're really at a growth phase. So we're growing in family, we're growing in responsibility, we're growing in just busyness. The last 6 months to a year from now, I've actually been doing a lot of thinking on how do I kind of think about my schedule, think about what I devote my time to so that we can keep first things first. And so I've been doing what you call schedule engineering or life hacking or whatever you call it. But how do you kind of get the good things in and keep the bad things out? That being said, one of the things that I just need on a very consistent basis is quiet time, time with myself and kind of the Lord. I've created now a schedule where I actually go to bed early, 9:30 or so, but I actually get up pretty early, kind of 4:30 every morning, just so that I can have dedicated time where no kids and no other distractions to get that time in. So that's actually pretty consistent. I also kind of try to work out, and not so much for my physical physique, but that's just a place where I can kind of re-energize and recharge. And I know that for me, that's where I get my plug in. So I try to keep those kind of almost on a daily basis in my regimen. And then you have things like family time. So I put boundaries around my day when I'm in town, certain blocks of the day from 6 to 9 is kind of family time. So no phone, no computer. And I try to be at home dedicating that time to my wife and family. So the host of things throughout my daily schedule that I've tried to quote unquote engineer so that either I don't have to think about them, make decisions about them, or that they just automate the right kind of priorities in my life.
When I hear you say that, I think about pre-choices. We are making these choices ahead of time to block out some of the busyness, because we all know that busyness is the enemy of intimacy.
Yeah.
It's the enemy of intimacy with God and the enemy of intimacy in your primary relationships. Yeah. That's incredible as we prioritize that in our personal habits, our personal disciplines. What are some of the professional habits that have aided you throughout your career to just continue to progress in your career?
Very tactically, on a day-to-day basis, I actually keep a to-do list. There's so much activity and kind of some of the things we're working on now, and I almost prioritize my day daily. There are 4 things that I have to get done today, and literally I refresh that daily just so that I can make sure that in the busyness of everything, I'm getting those things done. There are actually a host of things that I do just kind of tactically and daily that kind of lead to making sure I prioritize the right things.
Jeff, it's easier for Chris and I. We have 2 teenagers now. For us to be able to protect our time to work out, our time to spend with the Lord, it's a little bit easier at this
season.
The
morning time is protected in an awesome way. They sleep, right?
Right.
The nighttime is not protected.
Right.
This is true.
Right.
When we interview someone who's an empty nester, you think to yourself, if you're someone in your mid-30s with almost a third child on the way, yeah, it must be nice. Yeah. Like, sure, I would love to spend an hour with the Lord each day. That sounds really great.
Sure.
But you are doing it. You are making those first things first in really what is arguably probably the most intense season of development in anybody's life, where your career is on the upward trajectory, your family's on the upward trajectory. So there's not a lot of time for fun.
Yeah.
But it's important to also have fun.
Absolutely.
So what are the things that you and Alexis do for fun, and how do you take a mental break, aside from exercise, to just have a little bit of break in your mental games?
Yeah, my wife is definitely the fun part of this relationship. But we actually do things pretty consistently. So one of the things we love are actually movies. You can catch us on a night or two a week just at home, or two or three date nights a month kind of at a movie. We just love going to movies and having fun. My wife is very active, so we incorporate exercise into our activities, whether it's running races or kind of going roller skating or going bowling. We try to integrate those kind of fun activities. Right now, just because of the season of life, it has to be intentional. So we have those kind of structured moments, whether 3 out of 4 weekends a month, that we do try to have our date night, but we try to interject fun in those moments.
We're still learning on that as well. We have to be intentional as well to make sure we have fun too.
Yeah, we're a little too serious at times. Our kids tell us that frequently. It's part of the curse of being a pastor is that you deal with so much serious stuff all the time, and you're dealing with truth and you're dealing with counseling. You really do have to prioritize being fun, being spontaneous and stuff. And so our kids are good about getting us out of serious mode. Jeff, as we transition and talk a little bit about your career and the expressions of leadership through your career, talk to us a little bit about the specific role that you have as a corporate strategist.
Mm-hmm.
What does that really mean? What does this role of strategy play, as we'll talk even in the future here in just a moment, about turnarounds?
Yeah. Strategy really could take many different shapes or forms. It could be defined as someone who helps the organization measure success and track success on certain initiatives, or as robust as defining who we want to be, right? And what is the overall vision of the company? How do we get there? What initiatives, what products, what markets do we want to grow? And then also the execution part of that is defining the success metrics and then tracking and executing those. So largely depending on the role of the seat and also the needs of the organization, strategy ranges from helping the organization measure success to defining it, executing it, and measuring it as well.
Going back to your sports days,
mm-hmm.
it's really an advanced form of play calling.
Yeah, after the quarterback.
And absolutely. Keeping the score, right?
Absolutely. That's exactly what it is. And so maybe that's why it's a natural fit for me. But a lot of quarterbacking aspects to it. You got to be able to have the vision, see the field, make the right call, and then help other teammates execute against that.
Okay, so what we also know, every great leader, and if we take this quarterback illustration, has to follow the example of Peyton Manning, and you got to call Omaha all the time. You got to call it audible.
Absolutely.
So, okay, you've got this strategy. You put a lot of time and energy into the strategy.
Yeah.
But once you get into the game, the defense throws something different at you.
Yeah. All strategies are most successful when they're dynamic. Right. And especially in this day and age, in this competitive market where companies are being disrupted, technology is disrupting kind of what used to look like success. You have to be able to be dynamic, call audibles, and test and verify along the way. So you kind of hear a lot of that thinking in the startup world today. How do you get a MVP, minimum viable product, out to the market, test it, improve, then get it back out there as well? So that's the way I approach strategy. You kind of need to have a well thought out plan from the start, but you have to understand also that it's going to change and got to be positioned to be dynamic, have great conversations around progress, clear understanding of metrics, pretty fast feedback loops from the appropriate stakeholders so you can adjust and pivot along the way. And that's how you kind of grow your way towards success.
When I listen to you talk about that, it reminds me of another leadership principle called the commander's intent.
Mm-hmm.
If we go back to the military, the commander has commissioned people and he's got a strategy.
Yeah.
But once you enter the battlefield, there are certain aspects of that strategy that they can't be implemented precisely.
Yeah.
And so it's the responsibility of the people underneath the commander to interpret the commander's intent.
Yeah.
How do you see that play out in what you do and in the corporate world?
That's extremely important. And normally that commander's intent starts with the kind of vision and values of the company. You want to make sure that the leader, and even in a strategy role, depending on the level of your seat, you're either helping the leader kind of define that, or you're making sure when it's defined, you're able to helping translate that down to the organization so that you have clear actions to go and get it. Your also kind of role in that is how are we going to measure success and creating clear tracking and monitoring of that so that the organization is allowed to measure and pivot if needed. Kind of along that military vein, I think that falls in the realm of what is known as kind of brief and debrief, right? So the briefing happens if the leader, the commander comes out and says, here's where we want to go, here's what we're trying to do, but leaves enough room for the organization and the operators to actually define how they get there. And then on the back end of that, kind of after each battle, each test run, you have very disciplined debrief sessions, right? So you're getting quick feedback on what did we learn, how do we do, what do we need to change, right? What did we learn, how do we do, what do we need to change? And if you can build those type of actions within the organization, that just allows you to kind of take action, but also improve and improvise along the way so that you make sure you're headed toward the right target.
So what that tells me is our strategies are flexible. They're not fixed.
They have to be.
Yeah.
They have to be. They have to be dynamic. They have to be fluid. They need to be anchored and disciplined. You're presumptuous to think that you're going to get everything right from the beginning because the world doesn't work like that. The commerce doesn't work like that today. We're just in a much faster, more dynamic business environment. So you have to be quick, fast, and be able to learn fast.
So you guys are sitting here with this big old football analogy that just fell apart when you gave the new acronym for MVP as a minimal viable product. I mean, we just went right out the window there. As you're talking about this flexibility, you're talking about this brief debrief, obviously you have human beings involved in all of this, and there's opportunities for conflict. There's opportunities for things to go wrong. Sometimes we learn our greatest lessons through failures. What would you share maybe as your biggest failure? And then what did you learn from it? How is it something that maybe became something that really helped you in your career?
When people normally talk about their greatest failure, it's normally some achievement of some kind of personal goal or so forth. Going back to what we discussed earlier, when I hear failure, it's largely dependent on how you define success. And the proper definition of success, I think, is important for every leader. So for me, I define success as, one, things within the realm of my control, right? Mm-hmm. And I have a responsibility for. And then ultimately, am I being who ultimately Jesus called me to be? If I'm relating to others, if I'm executing and acting in a way that's in that vein, then that's success. Now, I have expectations that are built on other things, and I have a lot of disappointments when we don't achieve some of those other goals. I try not to call those failures. I try to call those disappointments. So back to your question of what are some of my bigger failures, they would have to be largely around the relational things where I didn't act the way, I didn't communicate the way, I didn't treat somebody in the way in which I want to treat people. Because ultimately, that's within my control, and that's ultimately what I'm called to do, to love people as Christ loved me. And so those would be some of the bigger failures, quote unquote, in which I've had in my career. And oftentimes, you got to be quick to backtrack, repent, humble yourself, and say, you know what? I made a mistake. That wasn't right. But it's less of the this promotion, this acquisition, this EBITDA profit goal hit, and more of the kind of character elements.
I hope everybody takes their iPhone, rewinds, and plays that again, because what you just said, I think, is absolutely foundational as a believer to define what really is important. There are business decisions that may disappoint you. There are projects that may not turn out like they want. But for you to remember as a child of God what is within your control and what God has called you to do, and that be how you measure your success and your failure, to me, that sets you up for a much healthier and God-centered life. Have you found that to in action to really work itself out that way compared to your peers?
Yeah, well, and I don't want to compare myself to my peers. I compare myself to myself. So as I mature, yes, I found it work out in that way for myself. Because again, success and failure to me is so correlated with identity, right? So I internalize whatever I define as success and failure just personally and who I'm going home, it's weighing on me. It influences the way I think about myself. It influences who I am with my different hats in life. Since that's so important and core to who I have to be very careful of how I'm defining success and how I'm defining failure and what wall I'm leaning that ladder against, because I'm putting a lot of work in climbing that ladder, and it better be up against the right wall, the right definition of success, ultimately what's most important. And so, again, that doesn't excuse. We all have goals, and it's very important to aim at those and try your best to kind of lead yourself and your team and your families to hit those. But again, just because something doesn't meet my expectation, it's a violation of my expectation, right? It could still all be a part of God's plan. And I don't want to dismiss that moment as a failure when really it just didn't meet my expectation or my timing expectation, but it was really all a part of God's plan. So it's kind of reconciling both of those thoughts to ultimately be who He's called me to be in the timing and pattern and seasonality in which He has it.
Jeff, one of the things that you mentioned in your answer is the relational dynamic. If I make a mistake, if I have something that I would classify as a failure, sometimes it's the relational component. I think that really is the difference between a good leader and a great leader.
Yeah.
A great leader, when he or she climbs the ladder, they bring people with them.
Yeah.
When they get to the top of the ladder and they get on top of that building, so to speak, there's a team and there's a bunch of people who are celebrating one another. Whereas sometimes a less than leader gets to the top because they've climbed over people.
Sure.
And when they get there, there's no one there to celebrate with.
Sure.
And there's nothing more empty than that.
Sure.
I think one of the things that's important for our audience as we think about this, leaders, we can make 10 right decisions in a day, but if the one wrong decision is a relational decision,
yeah,
it's the one we're worried about when we come home.
Yeah, absolutely.
So in that way, for us to just know that our ultimate success as a leader, as a servant leader, when we model after the leadership of Jesus, is that His greatest success was in relationship.
And one of the things that I challenge myself on, by no means am I perfect, but I think it's important to who I want to be, is that the higher that I go, right, in seat, professionally, and responsibility, the lower I must become personally. So I have that in my mind, because ultimately we'll be environments, we'll be in roles, and like rocket ships, you'll get promoted, you'll get more responsibility, you'll get more pay, you'll get more limelight, more attention, and all of a sudden, your position or platform has taken off. But simultaneously, how do we have an inverse relationship with the higher I go, the lower I must become in character, in humility, in person? Because ultimately, that's servant leadership. It's that dynamic, right? It's that juxtaposition that is servant leadership. The higher your position, the more humble servant you are. Still trying to crack the code on that one, but ultimately I'm trying to work hard to say, how do I find ways that the higher I go, the lower I become?
The thing that Karen and I have noticed the most as we have done all of these interviews for Lead Like Jesus is the humility of the leaders. Mm-hmm. That is what's most impressive and what inspires us the most.
Well, what I hear you saying is something that's hard to learn just by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Have there been other believers in your life? We talk about getting over the wall. There are a lot of people who believe in Jesus and agree and have a growing relationship with Him. But that humility piece, kind of that whole, the closer you get to the Lord, the more you see His holiness. And as you see His holiness, the more you see your sinfulness.
Yeah.
That's what I think of when you talk about that. Have there been some key people or some key moments in your development as a believer that someone has taught you that, someone has modeled that, that someone listening right now thinks, man, I'm not at that place that I'm trying to humble myself. I'm just trying to climb the ladder. That you would say, here's some ways that God helped me to keep that in focus in my life.
Very good question. And I kind of laugh at it. Laugh at that the question would even be posed to me. I'll answer it in two parts around the relational and accountability part second. But first, so funny when you have conversations with people, and we're all so used to in today's day and age giving the resume answer. Who are you? I was from Detroit, quarterback in high school. Then I went to Columbia and quarterback there. And then I went to Wall Street and did that. Then I went to Harvard. Such this linear path, which is so not life and so not true and so not the way God chooses to develop us within life. If you peel back the onion, if we had more time on this conversation, that linear line really looks like a zigzag of highs and lows. previous podcast, we talked about one of the first lows of losing a parent at an early age. And then I was good in high school, but wasn't that good. So I had to work really hard for that. And then trying to kind of go through the life challenges of sports and career and setbacks and so forth. Seeing those adverse moments as really learning moments, teaching moments, God moments. How do I embrace those to ultimately, that's on the path of who God has me to be. And how do I use that ultimately to catapult me forward? It's something that I've learned to the highs and lows of life and really is more reflective of what my path looks like. So that has humbled me. There's a second part of that of through those experiences and getting over those major roadblocks and hurdles and walls in my life, what I've learned is the importance of relationship, deep relationships in your life. And I always keep a very tight accountability group of not only my wife now that I'm married, of men around me, older on par with me and younger, to help me through life on a daily basis and especially in those moments. So now I have just a natural rhythm and habit of that accountability in those conversations and transparency in those conversations. But you can't get there alone. You don't learn it alone. Yeah, both of those answers kind of hopefully answer how you kind of navigate those tough points in life.
Jeff, as someone who I know also listens to this podcast on a regular basis, you have had the privilege of hearing some of the great leaders that have been on here that are more in those legacy years.
Yeah.
They've already accomplished the majority of their accomplishments and now they're giving back. What would you say you're learning from those men and from other leaders about the kind of leader you want to be and how then you can leverage your leadership to lead like Jesus?
Yeah, so many of the things that I've actually spoke about before, and so they're either introducing those new topics or reinforcing. So one is, you got to have first things first. It's important that you wrestle with the question of priorities. I had a conversation with my boss last week. We have this conversation frequently. And he actually said to me, he said, Jeff, you know, because you're in a strategy discipline, you lead strategy for us, you think strategy in your life is 5 years out. But you're actually thinking too short. You need to be thinking about what's going to matter in eternity. And that's what needs to be governing your actions, your personal actions, how you interact with your wife, how do you interact with your community, how do you do certain things and make certain decisions. You need to really have an eternal view and then let that drive. What do you prioritize and what do you do? So one, just having the right priorities. And then two, the importance of balance and boundaries in life. I'm kind of in that season now where it's mass expansion. Family's growing, responsibilities are growing, activities are growing, busyness is just growing. How do you put the right boundaries in life so that you can execute well, but also live well at the same time?
I'm loving this and just thinking how helpful this conversation will be to others that are right in that same season. And maybe they aren't strategists by nature. Maybe that's not how they think. So I think you offer some great wisdom for them. As we're coming to the end of our time together, is there maybe one particular leadership lesson or one signature message from your life that you think you would want to pass on today?
I guess one keystone message just from the experience of life: embracing adversity. And we've talked about a few of those moments, but there have been many more, personally, professionally, family-wise. And just realizing the beauty and the power that when adversity hits of any kind, it's not so much that it hit, but how do you ground yourself and understand how God may want to use that moment to really advance you towards what he's calling you to do. Most people check out, tap out, in those adverse moments. And adversity is hard, and I don't want to minimize that. But understanding that those can actually be springboards in your calling, in your life, in your goals, in your business. And so really to embrace moments of adversity throughout life with the right people around you, obviously centered in the Word of God and what he's calling you to do, because those are really kind of the springboards to what he's calling you to next.
I couldn't agree more, because when we look through the pages of Scripture and we look at every great man or woman of God throughout history, those moments of adversity are the turning points. They're the defining moments. They're where we go back and we grab these leadership lessons, we grab these discipleship lessons out of their life, and we say it's that moment that defined who that person is. In the exact same way, every leader is going to go through different seasons of adversity. So just to repeat what you've already said, what really defines the true greatness of a leader is how they respond to that adversity. And we learn that from Jesus himself. Our greatest leader of all time did not live a life that was absent of adversity.
Yeah.
But really, the adversity of his life became the turning point for all of us, the defining moment for all of us.
Jeff, thank you so much for joining us. As I think about your life and your schedule, there is not time for social media. And I applaud you for giving the priority to your family and your children. You had mentioned that there was an email address. If somebody wanted to follow up with you, how should they reach you?
JeffMcCall1@gmail.com. That's JeffMcCall, the number 1, @gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you and have a conversation with you.
Thank you again, and thank you for the ways that you do lead like Jesus. For more information about leadership development training and resources, visit us at leadlikejesus.com, and you can follow us at Chris Conley on Twitter or at Karen Conley on Twitter. And also, we would love for you, if you've enjoyed this podcast and you've been listening to us, go on iTunes and write a review and get the word out. When it comes to leadership, there is no need to reinvent the wheel. There is a perfect model, and we simply need to follow him. Let the leader in you show lead like Jesus.